I'm so glad to see you. And I know as well that for those of you who are here in that moment, what has happened in Eddie's life and happened in so many of our lives is a confirmation that God, who is faithful to one, is going to be faithful to another. Right? Because he's not a respecter of persons. So as Grace, a mom, was concerned about her son and lifting him up, I know there's a mama concerned about a son somewhere in this room. And so I just want to make sure you catch it, that you don't miss it, that the way that God was faithful there, God's going to be faithful to you too and for us all. And so I'm excited about that in this series, because clearly when God does something like that in our lives, when he restores us, when he does the miraculous in our life because he loves us so much, it's because he has a next for us. Somebody say next. Yes. Yeah, God's not done with you. He's not done with me. And he's laid out some things. He's got a plan that I would become everything that I'm supposed to become in Christ Jesus. So there's always a next. So when you're facing certain challenges and certain issues in your life, just remind yourself, self, God is not done with us. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care about the devastation of the thing that has happened in this relationship, because God has a next for me by his grace. He's not finished with me. The scripture said that he would, the work that he started, he would be faithful to complete it. And so that gives us hope, that helps us lift our eyes up, that for every single person in the room, there is a next for us, a next step. And our next is a relationship, always this relationship with Jesus. Always our relationship with Jesus. How many of you did your reading homework? One. You guys, you have reading homework. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're a work in progress. We are a work in progress. If you're not following us on social media, please do so. I'm even taking steps onto social media these days. Yeah. So these guys are like, Pastor, one day you're going to get up to date. We're praying for you. And so, yeah, hop on, because we post information. Read this. Check this out. There's a prayer call. How many of you know we had a prayer call this last week? Okay, at least some of you know about it. And so, but if you're dialed in, you'll be able to see what's going on and hop in for you there. Well, since most of you did not do your reading assignment, let me read our series story, and I'll give it just enough as a kind of appetizer, hors d'oeuvre for us to hopefully whet our appetite to read this scripture, to make a moment in our day at some point in this week where we say, I have homework. I've got scripture homework to tend to, and I'm actually going to do it because I believe that God wants to speak to me through his word. So take a listen. You can follow along on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught. as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. What a story, right? There's so much in this story. I can't wait to hear what you're going to encounter as you use maybe one of the methods that we've used in this church or equipped us with here or some other Bible method. We use SOAP, which is, what's that stand for? First, the S stands for, and the next one stands for, yeah, observation, the next one, application, and the last one, prayer. Yeah, that is Alan Wong. 2 points for you, Alan. And it's so important for us because we want to hear the author's voice directly to our heart. Nothing wrong with hearing, of course, from teachers. But to be able to have that moment with God where he's speaking to me and he's highlighting that theme that I need to see in that passage for the day at that moment. I want to quickly look at three themes. Matter of fact, for you note takers, let's go on and fill these out now, answering the question of how did we get here. Number one, these three themes are in this passage. By responding to God's invitation. Number two, by pushing out deeper. And number three, by embracing uncertainty. My next is about responding to the invitation that God gives me through his son, Jesus. And the way we see in this story that the fishermen get to respond to Jesus, we also get to respond today. Where we are in our life, what have you done with Jesus' invitation? Jesus makes this strong claim in John 14 and 6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I want to unpack not so much that verse, but this give us a context for accepting Christ, receiving and responding to his invitation. Because I know that there are a lot of ideas out there right now that say that there's so many ways to God. Well, wait a minute. Well, this religion, this faith, this, that, or the other. And what I want to remind us of is when Jesus said himself that he was singularly the way, the truth, and the life. And then I want you to think with me a little bit about it because there's so many things about God that I'll never understand this side of, right, that we'll never understand. Because his ways are so much higher than our ways. It's like, well, you're God and I'm not. And, you know, you can do anything you want to do. In a lot of ways, I can't do that. You know, it's hard to relate to you sometimes, God, because you are God and beside you there is no other. But, Jesus makes this claim and then God says, "I love you guys so much that I'm going to send Jesus to actually show it, to prove it, to demonstrate my love for you so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my love for you is real. I'm going to show it, and I'm going to have Jesus go on the cross." And I don't know if you're like me, but I think about these things because I think, well, what if there are other ways to God? What if there are other ways? And as I think about that, which a lot of us in this room are, which is why I want to make sure I hit this. I have to think to myself, well, what kind of God, what kind of good father would send his only son to that type of death, to that type of punishment, to that type of cruelty, if there were more than one way to get to God? That's not a good father. To me, that qualifies as one of the worst parents of the eons, ages of all eternity. Because I'm thinking about this, and as I've grown as a Christ follower, as I've grown as a father, I just think, wow, God, you wouldn't have done that to your son if there was another way. If there was another way, a parent in the room or anybody who has that type of instinct knows that that's not what you do to your kid. That's not what you do to your son. That's not what you do to your daughter. And so I just wanted to put that out there for the thinking, because there's a lot of that going on right now of, oh, well, this is fine, this is fine, this is fine. But Jesus didn't say that. In fact, he said in a moment, a defining moment in his life, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Because he recognized singularly that he was the only one fit, adequate, sufficient to pay the price for us. But Lord, if there is any other way, just, you know, let him do it. And so I'm asking you, and I might just camp out here for the rest of this short kind of abbreviated message. What have you done with the love of God shown and demonstrated through Jesus Christ? Is today the day that you say, you know what? Pastor, I needed to hear that because that actually makes sense to me. If God is good, if he's a good father, if we could sing his praises this way, then this must have been the only way. This must have been the only way to pay for the sin, the price of sin. That there was a cost and only Jesus' blood could pay the price. And so today is the day that I say, hey, God, I'm all in. There's a lot I don't know. But I know I'm going to continually stay stuck until I follow you because you're my next. Jesus is going to always be our next. And for those of us on the other side, you know, you can be, I grew up and they used to say you could be on the right side of the blood of Jesus and the wrong side of the calling. I'll unpack that just a little bit. They say, so you could be someone who is called on the name of the Lord to be saved and just be off mission. Just way off mission. And today he gives us an invitation. He's so gracious to us. He extends to us the invitation. Hey, follow me. Follow me. So wherever you are, in the room, know this, God extends himself today. He demonstrates his love for us through his son, Jesus, so that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, hey, Jesus paid the price that no one else could pay because I love you so much with an everlasting love, the kind of love that wants to gather you to be close to you and walk with you. Know that this day. And he also says to us, hey, I made you for my purpose. Get on mission with me. If you're looking for fulfillment, if you're looking for meaning, he says, I got it for you. Keep your eyes on me. Follow in my footsteps. Walk in calling. Walk in purpose. I'm letting that sink in. When we do that, when we respond to the invitation, our life change. Our life changes. For some of you, say, I need this to change. You're thinking, I need something to change in my marriage. I need something to change in my job. I need something to change in my health. And all those things may be true. But do you know how you get that change? Is by giving our hearts to Jesus so that he can change our heart. And some of us say, oh, Pastor, I didn't even realize that every single day, every single breath I take in, every breath I draw in, that there is an invitation to know God. He invites me by the very breath, air in my lungs, to come closer to him. So there's an awareness moment there that, Jesus, I'm drawing close to you. I'm responding to this invitation that you give me every single day. My next step is Jesus. Before I look at that to-do list, I'm looking at Jesus. Lord, highlight for me what needs to happen today. Where are we going today? We're going to have moments like Peter. who says, "Now, Lord, don't you know you catch a fish at the night? You catch a fish at the nighttime." This is Peter talking to Jesus in the story. "Lord, we catch the fish at the nighttime, and here we are, you about to teach, and you tell us to catch a fish in the day. Lord, I'm an expert fisherman. I'm good at what I do. I got credentials. I got the bling to prove it." Knowing more than Jesus. And at this moment, Peter's faced with this invitation. Is he going to do this thing that Jesus is saying doing, knowing that he's already done it and he's done it unsuccessfully? Are you going to do that? And then it goes against what I think should happen. So Peter gets this opportunity to respond, and he says this key thing, and I just love that some of you have highlighted this expression too. He says there, "But if you say so, in my attitude, that we would leave here, that we would gain, and that we would engage with the attitude that says, but if you say so." This defies what my experiences have been. This defies what my expertise says. But Lord, because I'm following you, "But if you say so," I'm going to respond to that invitation. It doesn't make sense to me at the time. And some of you are like, and Peter has this whole moment because, you know, he's the one that denies Jesus, and, you know, he's the cussing sailor and all these. And so he's just as jacked up as we are, right? We're in good company with Peter. But just like Peter, we get the opportunity to respond to this invitation of Jesus, Jesus' instructions. Another translation says it like this: "Nevertheless." Nevertheless, I'll try it your way and see what happens. And look, Peter wasn't disappointed. And I want to submit to us today, neither will we be disappointed. Neither will we. When we go against some of the things that we think we know to follow the one that knows all, he's going to lead us into that next step after step after step. I want to pray with you now. Father, we do give you thanks and we give you praise for the next. We thank you that our next are going to look so many different ways. You're speaking to our hearts. Some of us are saying for the first time, "Jesus, you're my Savior." For some of us, others, it's going to be, "You know what? I've never actually participated in a small group or growth group. And I hear you leading me there." Some of you have, and it's been a bad experience for you. But today it's in your heart, it's in your attitude that you're saying, "Nevertheless, but if you say so, I'm going to try it again." And so for the one who needs that, Lord, strengthen as only you can. As we hear your voice, as we seek to follow you, we seek that all for your glory. Speak to us clearly. Help us see you more than anything else. Help us know that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.